Coming in at 5'3", it's
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So what do the Bulls do? Do the Bulls give Zach the max? Can they get away with only guaranteeing 4 years? And what I reported yesterday is there is serious concern with Lonzo Ball's ailing knee. And if he can't go, what do you do at point guard? It changes your whole off season, and you don't have a lot of flexibility. Bobby Marks has been an NBA front office exec for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's awesome on ESPN, and he's kind enough to share his knowledge with us now on Cap and J-Hood. Bobby, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're well, Bobby. Thanks for checking in with us.
So
I'm in your beautiful city right now for the combine, so looking forward to it.
There you go.
I'll be there.
The best.
Yeah.
So the Bulls are in this trick box. We got tired of the Jim Boylan era and the Garpax era, and the team's terrible. Now they're fun to watch. I enjoyed every single game throughout the winter. Hoodie and I, boy, we go home and we get to watch DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Vooch and Ball. And then Lonzo hurts his knee. He can't come back. They get drilled by Milwaukee, and now Zach's a free agent. Well, take us through how you fix this to get to the next level.
Well, I mean, I think you hit it on the head earlier. I mean, the health of Lonzo is critical. As much as you want to, you know, the priority is to get, you know, sign Zach. I mean, Lonzo healthy or not healthy changes the dynamics a lot here. I mean, you saw when he was, you know, when he was in a lineup, I think they were, what, 27-13, 14 games above 500, and, you know, probably the best team in the Eastern Conference. And when you take him out of the lineup, now it's kind of a little bit of a rotating, you know, rotation of guards. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's certainly the focus will be the health of Lonzo. I mean, in a perfect world, he was healthy, and then you bring Zach back on a max contract, and you're a top four or five team in the Eastern Conference. Now, there's so much uncertainty here because of his health. And then, of course, what you do with what happens with Zach. And if Lonzo is, you know, set back, you're right. I mean, your resources are really limited. I mean, you've got your draft pick. You've got probably your smaller exception, which is the 6.4. Maybe you could use a little bit more. But you're not going to get a Tyus Jones or a Jalen Brunson to kind of come in and be that, you know, that point guard to kind of hold down the fort. So that's, I think that's your, I mean, the big focus is going to be the health of, you know, certainly Lonzo here.
Bobby, I guess when it comes to the Bulls, I take a look at the rest of the star power in the East, the KD, the Kyries, the Embiids, Harden, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Giannis, just the star power there. And I look at the Bulls and I think, well, there's a ceiling to their success. Is there any way that you look at the Bulls moving forward and to say they could be a top three team in the East just based on the rest of the stars in the East?
Yeah, I mean, I think things have to line up. I mean, I think the health part, well, certainly if they're, you know, if they finished how they were, you know, post All-Star break and then kind of how the, you know, the five games against Milwaukee, no, they'll probably be a six seed competing for a play-in because the Eastern Conference will continually to be really, really strong here. Probably not as deep as the West here, but yeah, I mean, you need a lot of things to line up. And then you also need, like, is DeMar going to perform at an all NBA level again? Right. I mean, that's going to be that, you know, you had a great year here. Now you're expecting him to kind of, you know, another year older to compete at that high that high level here. So I think you have to have things line up perfectly for you to probably be in that 3-4 range here. And if not, then you're the back end is a, you know, a team that's where you finish the sixth seed or a team that's kind of competing, you know, for that play-in spot.
Has the perception of Chicago changed with Karnišovas and Eversley? As you well know, Bobby, there was a cloud over the organization under Garn Pax as far as the Bulls wanted to get top-notch free agents or even B-level free agents. It just wasn't happening. What's the perception now of Chicago now that there's a new coat of paint there?
Yeah, I mean, it has changed. I mean, I think you saw last offseason guys wanting to come play here, you know, whether it be DeMar or Lonzo and Caruso, guys like that. So I think it's a lot different than it was, you know, two or three years ago here. But the problem now comes to, like, although that's great, like, how do you get, you know, you're basically going to have to ask guys to take less money, which is certainly could be an advantage to you based on, you know, what this roster and what this front office and this, what this coaching staff is right now. And you have to, you know, you basically going to have to go a little bit bargain shopping, you know, having guys come here who maybe can earn more somewhere else and, you know, can compete and, you know, try to win a championship. So that in that way helps. And then, you know, certainly with, I think, with the free agency of Zach, I mean, I think the best, you know, solution, you know, certainly for Zach, when you look at the teams that potentially have cap space and flexibility, is like this year gives him the best chance to win. And if it's for the most money, it's still Chicago, because, I mean, let's face it, if he wants to go somewhere else, let's say Portland, he's going to leave $65, $70 million on the table to do so based on what Chicago can offer and what, you know, another team can.
Okay, so I reported yesterday that there is serious concern in the Chicago front office that Lonzo Ball, they can't figure out why this dude still has pain every time he tries to ramp up his conditioning. And when he runs, he feels something going on in there. There may be another surgery coming. So how do you balance, well, we've got to get a couple shooters. We've got these exceptions, and we got the 18th pick. Boy, Zach's going to get scoped here in the next week or so. Yeah. We got to know what's going on there. And then if Lonzo can't go late September, you're like, we're still feeling pain. How do I get a point guard? So unpack that if you were in that role. Give me your checklist in order how you handle that.
Well, you know, unfortunately, it's not a great draft from a point guard position as far as, you know, from a depth standpoint, as far as where they're picking. And you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, there's a, probably a fall off, you know, guys like, you know, Jaden Ivey was in the top 4 or 5, and then everything else after that. So now you're relying on a rookie to come in here and you know, kind of, as I said, kind of hold down the fort. So, and I heard the same thing out here as far as with his knee. I don't know if it's a deep bone bruise, that, you know, there's some, certainly some concern here. So I don't think you can, I don't think the free agency of Zach, you know, what's going on with Lonzo should impact what happens with Zach. I think that's kind of a separate issue here. But as I said, like the challenge comes with, you know, where do you find a point guard? I mean, is it going to try to make somebody else expendable on your roster? I mean, what else do you have to move? It's not a great free agent point guard class, as I mentioned before. So that's one thing as far as how do you address that with limited resources. Then, of course, it's, you know, the Zach contract, which, you know, I'm comfortable for, I think, for the first couple of years, but it scared the heck out of me as far as, mm-hmm. you know, certainly years 4 and 5 paying him, you know, $48 million.
I'm just fascinated with this Boston-Miami series we're going to see, Bobby, and just the infrastructure of the organizations. Like with Boston, so to have Udoka as a head coach and then to be able to have a longtime coach in place for Boston going upstairs.
Oh, Brad Stevens.
And Brad Stevens going upstairs. I just didn't know how that was going to work. It, you know, how slowly they started. And now look where they are, an opportunity to get to the finals. Then Miami, of course, with their Heat culture. Could you tell us about the infrastructure of these organizations? Why are they in this spot right now? Why is it working?
Well, for Miami, I mean, they're the gold standard for from a player development standpoint and identifying talent. And I think that's a you know, sign for every team that just because you have, you know, whether Bam Adebayo or Jimmy Butler and, you know, Kyle Lowry guys making $28 to $30 million, like the rest of your roster can still be really good if you find the right fits as far as the veteran minimum guys, the, you know, the Max Struss and the Gabe Vincent, guys that never heard of, you know, certainly here Tyler Hero and you know, PJ Tucker. Like the role players fit, and they're basically have spent $15 to $16 million total on them. So it can be done. I mean, I think that's kind of where it's basically, you know, guy goes out and you just kind of plug it in, and that's how it's always been with the Heat. I think for Boston, you know, for Brad going from the coaching to the front office, it just gives him a better perspective as far as what he left Ime with as far as a roster standpoint. And he's been able to put his identity. I mean, this is one of the great defensive teams that we've seen in a long time here, as you've seen in the progression of Tatum and Jaylen Brown has taken off to another level. And then when you get your role players like Grant Williams the other night to really step in, the roster fits. It fits a little bit differently than a year ago.
I've got two Heat questions. First of all, Max Strus came out of the G League. He was on the Bulls. Tore his ACL, and they went, yeah, we don't have room for you. Go. And now that's the exact kind of shooter that they wish they had in Chicago. My question for you is Jimmy Butler a top 10 player in the NBA, or not quite top 10, but maybe top 25?
How about top 10 player in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between regular season Jimmy Butler and playoffs Jimmy Butler. I think there are, you know, and I had him before the season started to win the MVP this year, but I think there will always be, you know, Jimmy Butler playing 60 games during a regular season. There'll never be a point where he's going to play 70 to 75 games, whether he needs to take nights off, whether he needs to rest his body or his mind here. So I think there's a different player that we see in a regular season that we see what we've seen it in the last few years with Jimmy, how he competes, his will to win. You know, certainly he doesn't look older. In that Philly series, he was probably the best player on the court. So I would say, you know, top in the playoffs, I think probably top five. But when we get to the regular season, it's probably a little bit different.
Have you watched Winning Time, Bobby?
You know what? I haven't. I plan on it if I have some downtime out here, but I have not. I have not watched it.
Come on, Bobby. Come on now. I mean, it's more. There's more to life than the NBA beat. This is NBA stuff too.
It's awesome.
You need to. I mean, listen. After the draft, you need to take a look at this.
I will. I've heard about. I mean, actually, two people mentioned it to me yesterday when I was having dinner, and that is going to be the plan.
By the way, can the Bulls get anything for Coby White this summer?
All right. No, you can't.
Trying to rebuild our team.
Okay.
Well, those are your trade assets, right? I mean, basically, it's kind of, you know, Coby White, that's kind of outside of your main core guys.
Yeah, and then, of course, the other controversy is Vucevic around here. I always thought he was a solid player.
I like him.
With Orlando, and I know that he didn't shoot the ball as well. You reported that in your review of the Bulls on ESPN.com that he didn't shoot the ball well from three. But he still is a valuable asset to this team, is he not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not a number one and he's not a number two, but, you know, like, he fits, you know, I think he's probably your third or fourth best player. And, you know, he goes into this, year as an expiring contract. You have the option to extend. I mean, you gave up a ton to go get him. And so, I do think he's still part of kind of what they're trying to build here.
Would you extend him?
I would extend him, not going up, though. I would, you know, the extension rules, you can go, you know, you basically can start it at any number you want. So I would, you know, I think the center market right now is probably guys in that $14 to $16 million range. I mean, that's kind of where it is. Guys making $20 million or more are, you know, the Bam Adebayos, Rudy Gobert's, Towns, the Joker. He's not in that level. So I think in that $14 million range, I would certainly consider that.
Hey, man, we appreciate all your knowledge as we see if we can take our team to the next level and get back where we need to be.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bobby.
Enjoy the city.
Okay. Yeah.
There he is, Bobby Marks from ESPN. So a lot to unpack there. I mean, he's right. You'd be scared on a five-year deal with Zach. He said the first 3 years, yeah. Years four and five, I would have concerns.
That's Harden-like money, or CP3 type money almost.
Right.
I mean, you just hope that knee can be able to hold up, and hopefully the Bulls can get to where they need to be in the 5 years of that deal. It's going to happen. I believe he will sign with the Bulls.
Yeah, now the question is, does he sign and they trade him? Sign and trade deal to get him at L.A. That's the question. That's the question.
Cap, but you do that, and then what are you getting back in return? What are you getting back? You don't want to be the Knicks.
Agreed.
I think that the Bulls, as is better than, way better than a play-in game.
Mm-hmm.
As is, if you bring everybody back, and of course you get added a couple of shooters, you're a top five team in the East at the worst.
If your point guard's healthy.
Yeah.
That's the big problem. The Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue isn't what it once was, is it? We'll talk about it next.
Captain Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, a lot of fun talking with Bobby Marks. Very informative stuff as we go through the lottery tonight. Thought it was perfect timing to have him with the lottery tonight. You got the conference finals starting, and then bam, you're going to be right into the draft.
I'm so used to the Bulls being underachievers, I had to check in with you to see if the Bulls are going to be representing in the lottery.
They will not.
But they will not, because the Bulls are a playoff team, and we're above that now. There used to be a time where the Bulls would have it used to be, who used to run the Clippers? It was Elgin Baylor, right?
Correct.
He would have his own seat ready for him. It would be like a reservation.
It'd Elgin, be right there. Here's your seat
Elgin,
again.
Here you go, Secaucus. Here you go, right here. Thank you. All right. It's like, Elgin, you shouldn't be here every year. Your team sucks. But now the Bulls are above that. So even though I still will watch the lottery to see who's going to get the number one pick, point is that the Bulls will not be there for once. That's really good to see.
Good to see. We're not hanging on. Are we getting Zion Williamson? Who's going to be? Are we going to get Ja Morant? No. Yeah,
Cade Cunningham, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You guys believe the frozen envelope story with Ewing in 85?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was needed.
Listen,
if you watch Winning Time closely, like Cap and I, we know that David Stern was he was a climber. He wanted to be able, because he kind of just muscling in on the talent back there in 1980. Oh, David, how are you? Hey, Magic, how's it going? Like he was definitely going to be the commissioner, because he was sidling up to the Birds and the Magics of the world back then.
Was he not?
With a mustache.
I've got plans here.
That's right. So no, there's no doubt they want to have a winner in New York. That was important to Stern.
Yep.
So it's one thing for Boston and L.A. to be able to be the winners back then. The whole league is built on those two franchises. But he wanted the Knicks to be good, too. Again, no championships in 73.
Correct.
And they said, cold envelope, Ewing, get in there.
Yeah. Never won.
No question. But he tried, though. There's no doubt.
Wait, that Jordan kid who went third is the best player ever? Oh, God. We screwed that up.
Well, hell. During that time, who thought that a two-guard was going to be able to lead a team? Two-guard? That's impossible.
You build around a two-guard. Good luck with that.
What the late Mark Eaton said, that guy's too small. He's too small to be able to be good. 6'6"? That won't work today. Seriously? It was because you had to have a big oaf in there. Just anybody with size. Cap, I got a guy. He's 7 foot. Can he catch the basketball? No, but he's got size.
He'll block shots for it.
It's like, listen, that was Cap. Up and down the road, looking just for some big oaf to put in the middle.
Yep.
Just a nothing, a zero. Just some guy that can gallop down the court. That's it.
That was it.
Hey, bring it into the big guy. Catch the ball!
I remember we used to yell, get a stick and kill it! Can't catch the ball. So the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue isn't what it once was. Man, when I was in school, you'd run to the library, and the librarian would have the Sports Illustrateds, and you couldn't wait to get a view of Cheryl Teague's nipples. Like, oh my God!
Oh my God!
She's in a fishnet top. Like, it was amazing.
That was sex for you back then.
That was.
Uh-huh.
Today, it's not as big a deal. They've gone celebrities. Shay, who's on the cover of the new Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue?
Kim Kardashian.
Oh, God. Danny will have 400 copies.
Why? She's not a model. She's got enough exposure. What are we doing?
Yeah, he'll have 400 copies. 375 of them will be sticky.
399 of them, maybe.
Stuck together.
400 in a frame.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know he's a big fan. And, hey, I can understand, right? And I'm a Kardashian fan, too. I just want to know what happened to the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue that you have stars on there on the cover. Where's the models in that spot, Cap? You used to just look. There would be models you never heard of. And all of a sudden, they would grace the cover and the inside of a Sports Illustrated magazine. The swimsuit issue. What happened to the models?
I don't know.
What happened, Shay? What happened to the models that you look forward to every year?
Remember, it used to be like a semi-unknown, too, and it would just be like this beautiful model. And people are mad about like them putting a plus-size model on one of the covers or something. I don't care. She's gorgeous.
No, I'm fine with that.
That's totally fine. I just miss the days when it was like Kate Upton before she was Kate Upton, and they put her on the cover, and she became Kate Upton. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that something somewhere down the line, something has changed with this, Cap. Now, again, we also talk about this. Does that still resonate with you today to know who the swimsuit model is? Now, you and I have a subscription to Sports Illustrated, and if it just comes in the mail, it's like, I didn't know. Is it time for the swimsuit issue? Right?
Right.
It's nothing I'm looking forward to.
Correct.
Like I used to.
It's not like, hey, May 1st or June or whatever it is.
No. Now, the cover... The main cover is the model Yumi Nu is her name, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she is a plus-size model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already had controversy because Jordan Peterson took a shot at Yumi Nu as not beautiful because she's a larger woman.
No. Well, that's just short-sighted and dumb because she is gorgeous and...
By the way, has that guy looked in a mirror? Good luck, buddy. You're not getting with this girl. I'd relax.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that just to be kind. No, that's fine for me. I like a plus-size woman on Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue. I've got no problem with that at all. Restaurant quality.
She is a beautiful girl.
Also, Ciara is on here as well. She's on one of the covers as well. And now that's a singer and Russell Wilson's wife. And so she's on there. Got no problem with that. And then Mae Musk is on here as well, Cap.
Who?
Elon Musk's mother.
Mother, yeah. In her 70s, I think.
She's 74. Right up your alley, Cap. She's 74. Have you seen this? Take a look at Elon Musk's mother.
Okay, that's insane. She's 74?
Yeah, look at that.
This is where we've lost cabin pressure. This is not what the Sports Illustrated swimsuit was once upon a time. And Sports Illustrated isn't even what it was anymore. But what are we doing with Elon Musk's mother?
Explain it, Cap. Go ahead.
She's a beautiful woman. But the whole thing has just taken on a different light. We got to make sure we don't offend any group. We got to make sure we... That's not the way it used to be.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. You're saying that because there's numerous covers, they're trying to cover everything.
Everything.
I see.
Everything. Let's put the plus size model on that cover. We'll put Ciara on that cover.
Mm-hmm.
We will go with this nationality on this cover.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was going to give you a top 10 of great swimsuit models for Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. It blocked me.
Who's the best? Is Kate Upton number one?
Defender?
Yeah, but it blocked me. I just want to just go through Elle McPherson and kind of go give you a top 10.
Christie Brinkley.
Right. Kathy Ireland.
Yeah.
Paulina Poroskova.
Well, I was trying to give you that, but then the computer blocked me. Good karma blocked me here.
I think it's probably dependent on generation. I think for me, it'd be like Chrissy Teigen or Kate Upton having the most memorable top cover. Because I'm younger.
Chrissy Teigen?
Yeah, she was on there.
She was on the cover?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah.
But yeah, like, that was in 2014.
But like Kim Kardashian. Why is Kim Kardashian in the swimsuit issue? A. B. There's no shots of her backside.
Well, that's an issue also. I mean, she's known for her body, and she's also known for being a celebrity, right? And because of her clothes, modeling, all that.
Ray J in there too?
Ray J is not in there. No.
Ray J.
No, Ray J is not in there. No.
Oh, babe. Babe.
No, Ray J is not in there. No. I'm just quoting the movie.
Like, dude, I would love to know.
All that, JR.
From a mom or dad out there. Does your, 15-year-old coming home from school go, hey, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue come yet?
Yeah. Now, back in the day, yes.
I'll be in my room.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, there's no way.
I used to wait every week. I was such a dork in high school. I would wait every week for the Sports Illustrated to come to my house every single Thursday. Not even just the swimsuit. Every single issue. Every Thursday would come to the house. I get so excited coming home from school. And now it's like I don't remember the last time I picked one up and opened one.
I mean, think about JR. It goes back to 1964 with Babette March. Yeah, that was the
black
first
and
one.
White.
That was in 1964. They swimsuit models there. And another thing, Cap, is that you do remember back in the day the old newsstands.
Yes.
And they would have, like, the unsavory magazines.
Right.
It wouldn't be up front. You'd have to request it.
Correct. But there was one. I don't know if it's still there. I haven't walked in that area.
A black
Maybe
tail?
I will today. On the corner of Chicago and Michigan.
Oh.
There was a newsstand.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I used to go there by the Daily Racing Form, whatever you could get out of town newspapers. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah. But also the nudie magazines.
How yes. Cap learned French.
Excuse me. Do you have...
What?
Do you have we?
Uh-huh.
Cherie.
See, what I tell
Gallery.
You?
Gallery.
Hmm.
Yeah.
One moment, please. And they put in a nice little black bag for you. There you go. Thank you.
That'll be $12.95.
But the shame back then, though. The shame, right?
Right.
They put in that nice little bag for you so no one would see.
Correct.
Because you're a businessman. They don't Correct. Know. Like, hey, I'd like to have a magazine, please. Yeah.
But... Yeah. Do you have variations?
Do you have black tail?
Hoodie.
Thank you very much.
Hoodie, that's the problem. You nailed it this morning because porn being readily available derailed like the swimsuit issue and that feeling of like excited shame when you're buying it off the newsstand.
I worked for Playboy. I wrote their college basketball preview every year for a long time.
That's why I bought the magazine, yeah.
Yeah, for the articles.
Yeah,
of course.
No question.
Yeah.
And guess what? Playboy's not around. They have online presence and TV, but I don't believe they're publishing a monthly magazine.
So the ultimate question is, do you still buy a magazine for that? Do you still buy magazines to see women?
Probably
that's
not.
That's the question. That's I mean, how prevalent is that today?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley spoke on one of the worst Game 7 performances ever. Well, this dude's outspoken, and he's hilarious, and he's next.
Playboy. Look at that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Greeny coming up at 10.
And a little housekeeping for you. I'd like to remind you that tomorrow we will be trading. Spring trading.
Spring trading.
That's right. So new partners will shuffle up the deck, and Cap will be working with the lovely and talented Adam Abdallah.
That's right. Adam A. Abdallah and I, 7 to 10. And then noon to 2:30 is...
Noon to 2.
Noon to 2, I'm sorry. Is that Waddle and Carm?
That's correct.
And then it will be in the afternoon show, my guy Hoodie and Yurko.
Mm-hmm.
And then at night, it'll be truncated because of White Sox baseball, but a shortened show of Bleck and Sylvie.
So don't forget, spring trading tomorrow. Don't look for me in the morning. Look for me in the afternoon with Yurko. And then again, Adam Abdallah from Bleck and Abdallah will be working with Cap tomorrow starting at 7. So all part of a fun thing we're doing here every Wednesday here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Correct. Throughout the month of May. So we have one more. And I assume Thursday, Danny will pick the pairings for next week. So, but tomorrow, it'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Fast Break, the podcast, is available on the Cap and J Hood feed right now as I reviewed the playoffs and kind of related to the Bulls. It's right there on the Cap and J Hood feed right there. Look for Fast Break. Also, Fast Break has got his own podcast as well right here on the ESPN Chicago app. So, speaking of the NBA, we had Chicago Zone, West Side Zone, Patrick Beverley with a big spotlight on him yesterday.
Yep. This was on First Take. He is the pride and joy of Marshall High School and the University of Arkansas. And he was talking about the Phoenix Suns. Do you want to talk about unfiltered? This dude's unfiltered.
We're not having a conversation about why Phoenix lost in theory. We're having a conversation about why they were down by 46 points.
Scared.
30 at the half.
They were scared. 46.
So now that's where, what are you saying to that?
Basketball player, you can see it in their eyes. They were scared. It ain't about Luka taking it. So they knew starting the game what was going to happen. He's done it before. They watch, trust me. They have iPhone. They have Instagram. They see the numbers of Luka Doncic averaging 39. They hear me saying, man, he did it to me. He did it to me, Kawhi, Paul George. I damn sure he's going to do it to them. They know that. The boy's scared of Luka. Ain't nobody afraid of anybody over there in Phoenix, man. Everybody in the league knows that, bro. Like, it's just that y'all don't know that because y'all not in the locker room. No one's afraid of Phoenix. We wanted them. We wanted them. No one's afraid of Phoenix. I talked to some teammates. I ain't going to say who because I'm going to say who. Forget it. I talked to Paul George last night, man. Oh. Pat, ain't nobody scared of them. Wow. But you face Dallas, you ain't scared of Dallas, but, man, you...
You scared Luka.
Hey, man, you got to get your game right when you play Luka. I'm just being honest.
He also had this to say about the best defender.
Everybody knows right. that. Everyone knows that. It's just y'all don't want to accept it because...
No, I don't accept that. I don't. No. I'm saying, again, if you're taller than them, you see, you can shoot over him. Obviously, that's
but
an
give
issue.
Him the but, Ben Simmons slander. Give him the PG-13 slander. Give him the slander that you give everybody. Come
first,
on, Steve.
First of all, watch yourself now.
Come on
watch
now.
Yourself now.
Come on now.
Don't compare CP3 to Ben Simmons.
No, I didn't compare. I said
Ben Simmons didn't show up.
I said the slander.
Ben Simmons didn't show up.
I said the slander.
Well, what's the slander? I'm going to give you, if you show up, listen. You listen. You, I consider a guy that's an elite defender. You know how I feel
the
about you.
The best in the world.
Well, I wouldn't say the best in the world, but I get you. I know that you're an elite defender. I'm giving you props for that, my brother.
The best in the world.
Okay, well, you should feel that way about yourself. I don't feel that way about you, but you should feel that way about yourself.
ESPN gave me the numbers.
That you're the best in the world?
It's Giannis at 41.3% and it's Patrick Beverley at 41.9%, which means if you have the ball and Patrick Beverley is guarding, it feels like Giannis is guarding you. I'm only 6 feet. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
Well, I did say,
the greatest in the world.
Tama, I did say you were an elite defender. Be happy with that.
No, I can't.
Be happy with that for the moment.
Let's stay on top.
For the moment.
Here we go.
For the moment.
Okay. So Patrick Beverley said on First Take that Chris Paul is not a great defender. He said that he's called Cone in the league. Cone. As in traffic cone.
Right. Go right around him.
Right. He says that in this, here's one thing, Kev, you and I have not talked about this whole foul thing of the strip, right? So you are trying to put a shot up, the defender puts his hand out, and this the whole thing where you explode your arms, the rip through play, and Chris Paul always gets that play. Patrick Beverley says if I do that, then it's a flagrant foul. He says that CP3 gets all the calls and he gets all the acclaim because he's this Hall of Famer and one of the great guards of all time, all that. And he feels like he's a traffic cone. Like he says, everyone knows that. I'd never heard that before. But Patrick Beverley said that on the broadcast yesterday. What do you think of that?
I love that if you had a bunch of dudes from different teams playing in a summer league, which these guys go do, and they're all sitting around after the game, they're having something to drink, and they go, dude, Cone. And you're like, who? Who?
Cone.
What are you talking about? Oh, we call Chris Paul Cone because we can all go right around him like a traffic cone.
I mean,
that's awesome.
That's really tough.
That's slander.
Yes, it is. CP can't guard anybody, man. Everybody in the NBA knows that. Everybody knows that. We call him? We call him Cone. And Paul did struggle defensively in that series against Dallas. He's 37. I think he was hurt in that series. He was injured and he still played. The first couple of games he played well, but he turned the ball over like a Pez dispenser the last few games of that series against Dallas. So Patrick Beverley had some strong things to say. And, of course, him being a Chicago guy, that's the way to do it, right?
But
I understand. But now there's a lot of players in the league and out of the league are not happy with what Patrick Beverley had to say. Now, he's a stick in the beehive, Beverley. He'll just say what's on his mind.
He does.
He don't give a damn. Doesn't care. It surprised a lot of people, but if you know Patrick Beverley, you can't be surprised that he has a live mic and saying what he wants to say. It's crazy.
Does he remind you at all of Alex Caruso?
Who? Patrick Beverley?
Yes.
In what way?
Irritant defensively. I'm not talking about what they say. Caruso doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
The way they play, Caruso's taller.
Yeah.
They play that same irritating way where you're like, get off of me.
Oh, sure.
Very similar type players.
Oh, yeah. But you like guys like that.
Yes.
They're not stars, but they are key players for any roster, right?
Gotta find him.
You don't want to play against him, but you want him on your team. He is a volatile player, and he's a guy here that's going to speak his mind, and he's in the face of the official a lot, Patrick Beverley. Loves to talk. I get it. Let's go all the way back, though, to Chris Russo, Mad Dog Russo. So the conversation on First Take was Chris Russo and Stephen A. Smith going back and forth about whether or not CP3 is a top five guard of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I could have that debate. I think that Chris Paul is top five in my lifetime. Is he top five overall? I don't know.
Let's go through.
But think about that.
Top 10.
Yeah, is he top 10? Is he top 5? Yes,
not top 5.
No way. Top 10?
Top 10. Yes,
well, I mean, I got to have Magic and Kobe and Oscar Robertson. And I got to go through the Isaiah.
Don't even go there.
John Stockton or Chris Paul?
Oh my God.
Wow. John Stockton or Chris Paul?
Well, see, now here's the issue.
CP3 is amazing.
Well, he is. But here's what will people...
Let's go.
CP3 will not be judged on him not winning a ring. I don't go that far. Look, there's a lot of great players who never won a championship. What he will be judged on is his team's having a 2-0 lead five times in his career and them being bounced out of the playoffs. It happened with the New Orleans Hornets at the time. Mm-hmm. It happened with the Clippers twice. And now this outfit here with the Clippers.
The Suns, rather.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about that.
Oh, come on!
I mean, is he a top 10 guard?
Top 10!
Yes, Jerry West? I mean, there's a lot of dudes, man.
But is CP3 a top 10 guard? And that's the debate that they're having. That's why Chris Russo, especially after the Suns were eliminated, says, okay, now it's over. Chris Paul will never be in a top five or top 10 on his list.
And is Michael considered a guard?
Sure.
I mean, mentioned him. He's at the top of the list. That's six.
But point guard, though.
Oh, come on!
Point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think about that.
Yeah.
Let me ponder that. And if you had an opportunity, what player would you want to slander like Pat Beverly just did? What player would you want to slander like Pat Beverly did on national TV? We'll be right back.
He never averaged more than 18 and a half points in his career. He was a big-time rebounder. Hold on. Listen.
What's up, everyone? Zetterman here. This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Chicago White Sox. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a risk-free first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Here's the same game parlay I like for today. Game one, White Sox at Royals. I think the Sox are going to start heating up. I'm going to bet the White Sox giving a run and a half, and I'm going to bet Dylan Cease over 6.5 strikeouts. This bet pays 2-1. Bet 100, win $200. I love FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. It's safe, secure, and the best part is when you win, you get paid fast. So White Sox fans, see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using the promo code Zetterman to get started with your risk-free first bet up to $1,000. The promo code is my last name, Zetterman, Z as in zebra, E-D-E-R-M-A-N, 21 plus and present in Illinois. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So if you could slander a player on national television like Patrick Beverly did about Chris Paul, who would that be? There's an interesting tweet that you just sent to me, Hoodie, from a guy named Jim Park, who said, "This guy, Pat Bev 21, is a hero. Tells unfiltered truth, my kind of analysis about coaching, Monty's mistakes." That would be Monty Williams.
Mm-hmm.
"Talks about making difficult decisions like benching Chris Paul and tells Stephen A. Smith that he doesn't really get it. Easily my favorite analyst of the last two decades."
Well, you know, here's what you like. Here's a current player telling you what he thinks. Now, here's the thing. It's a big fraternity in the NBA, and you're not supposed to really be a habitual line stepper. But clearly, Pat Beverly didn't care about the line. Right. There is no line. He's just saying what he thinks. There is some bad blood between Pat Beverly and Chris Paul over the years.
Yep.
And so they spilled out over the TV. cone, he calls CP3.
That's the best.
Holy bleep.
Because he's a traffic cone that we go around.
Matt Barnes was saying something on The Jump yesterday. That was called, they don't call it NBA Today. He used to call it The Jump.
Right.
NBA Today.
That was the Rachel.
Yeah. So sorry about that. But I just know it's quality NBA content.
Yes.
And I saw it yesterday. And Matt Barnes said, hey, you know what? Hey, Pat Bev, you're a role player like me, man. You know, give CP3 his flowers. Okay, give him his flowers. But again, it's not about him not winning a championship, Cap. It's him failing and or whether it's injury or ineptitude. He's had his issues of trying to be able to get to the next level.
So I like the honesty. I just do.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
I do. Let's go to the phones. What player would you want to slander on national television? Hey, Mike, what's going on in Bolingbrook?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Thanks.
One guy I want to call a weird schmuck guy is Shakiri for the Chicago Fire.
Oh, she's so a great singer, man. I love Shakira. She's awesome.
You would think so. He comes from Liverpool. He should be the, you know, the eyes of everybody. But every time he doesn't get the ball, he throws his hands up in the air like a little four-year-old that just lost his milk bottle. So I just wanted to
Yeah, she's gorgeous, that Shakira. Thanks, Mike.
Weird schmuck guy. Bop, 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 bop.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law.
$3.126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Sign my puck.
Did you see the other day Shakira was in attendance at the Mets game? Buck Showalter thought she was throwing out the first pitch, and he was so excited to meet her. Then he found out she was just going to be in the stands, and he was absolutely devastated. Devastated. He wanted to meet Shakira so badly.
I saw that story, yes. He was excited and just like, hey, you know why? Because Showalter knows those hips don't lie.
She's amazing.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, he's a big fan, apparently. You know, Buck Showalter, good old baseball face. I didn't think he was interested in anything besides baseball. I mean, he's just an old grizzled veteran,
right,
by the way, old grizzled guy.
That surprises you that he would be like that.
That he knows anything besides baseball.
Right.
I know that sounds like a shot, but Buck, in, you know, certain moments where he could just talk off the cuff, usually just goes right back to baseball.
You know that he probably saw her for the first time on the Super Bowl, right? Like, he was like, who's that?
Oh, probably right? So.
I mean, there's no way he's like listening to Shakira on his own, is there?
It's not the music. I think it's something else.
Yeah, those hips.
Buck Showalter.
Let's go to Patrick in Logan Square. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, guys, listen, I know this is going to get me some crap back, but LeBron James is not on the Mount Rushmore. He is overrated. He's super talented. He's one of the best talented people that we've ever had, but he has choked too many times in the playoffs. He whines. He's not a leader that shows by example. And he flops all the time. And when you, in 2011, are the fifth highest scorer in the playoff series, and Jason Terry is a higher scorer than you when you're on the marvelous Heat, I'm done. Especially what just happened this year with all that talent that he brought in, and they can't even make the play-in. Stop it. Stop with the Mount Rushmore. He's not better than Kobe, not even close to Jordan. And I got Magic, and I got Kareem over him. Just stop.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Patrick.
All right. Good to hear from Skip Bayless this morning. Stop with the LeBron James. Stop with the Mount Rushmore. Stop! Hopping up and down in his chair. It's Diet Mountain Dew. So I tell you what. Don't worry about it, pal. LeBron James is one of the greatest. If he's not in your top four, he's definitely one of the greatest we've ever seen.
No question. He's just not Michael.
Love you, miss you, won't see you tomorrow.
That's right. I'll be here at 7 a.m. Shay and JR will be with me. And we've got Adam Abdallah in with me tomorrow for spring trading. Hoodie will be in the afternoon with John Yurkovich.
We'll see if Abdallah wakes up.
He'll be there. Abdallah will be ready to go.
Yep.
He'll be fired up.
He was sleepy last week.
He's a pro's pro.
Well, he better not be bringing any of that sleepy-ass attitude in here tomorrow.
All right.
We're going to have some fun. I'm counting on him. All right. Out of here. Have a great day. Love you, Hoodie.
Love you. Miss you.
See
you.
Take that.